quote a long time ago cardinal phrase, the heat is on. Right? And speaking of that, I want to let you know that I am culturally aware, as I wish you God's grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Wednesday coming up, as we've already told you, is Ash Wednesday. It happens to fall on the 14th, which means it is also, gentlemen, Valentine's Day, all right? And, come on, Cardinal fans, pitchers and catchers report, right? Pitchers and catchers report. In our, we want to get rid of winter, do we not? Yes. It means spring is coming. In the text for today, especially the gospel, there's a journey that is the context for everything that happens on this Mount of Transfiguration. And so I've already mentioned pitchers and catchers. I want to speak to you a word about a journey from a very famous catcher. He's a Hall of Famer. He's been quoted often because of the words that he speaks. In fact, he is said to have said, "I didn't say half the things I said." All right? His name, Yogi Berra. His travel advice, when you come to a fork in the road, take it. Right. Now, the context is very important. Supposedly, he was telling a friend how to get to his house, and the sentence goes on to say, because it doesn't really matter which way you go, you'll still get there. Nevertheless, it's kind of an odd kind of a thing to say. When you come to a fork in the road, take it, right? We are not at a fork in the road, but a fork in the road is definitely a pause point, and this is a pause point. And my invitation to you this morning is that as we engage this Mount of Transfiguration story, please, please, please keep in mind the plea that God makes to every follower as the title, but also where we've been in this faith and the fight for life. And walk up that mountain as the kids did. I turned to Pastor Seiler before and said, I'm not even sure why I'm preaching this morning, because that kid's message was so spot on. That here you have these three disciples that walk up the mountain with Jesus, and I want you to put on their lenses for a minute, especially try to see this through Peter. And you're with Jesus, which has been an outstanding journey in the first place, called to be from your occupation as a fisherman to be a fisher of men, called on the carpet a couple times, corrected. But now here you are on this mountaintop, and not only does he begin to glow whiter than anything could possibly be, but also with him are Moses and Elijah. What are you going to do? Well, given Peter, you say something, right? And after a while, you wish perhaps that you had not said it, but you've already said it, and I think it extends, at least to my heart, the kind of wish that I would have, that if I were on a mountaintop with Jesus, and if I were on a mountaintop with Moses, the great lawgiver, and if I were on a mountaintop with Elijah, the great representative of the Old Testament prophets, I would want to stay there as long as I could as well. That's not the plan. As you heard the kids say, you got to come down off the mountain, but not without first hearing from the Father. And now I'd like to have you set aside those disciple glasses and try to see this event through the eyes of God, our Heavenly Father. And as the Father speaks, recall that this is not the first time that God's people have heard the Father speak. In fact, one of the reasons that Moses is there is because Moses got to hear God speak and then bring that word to the people of God. Moses got to hear God speak on Mount Sinai. And on Mount Sinai, when God spoke, he said to Moses, as he began to help Moses with those Ten Commandments, how it is that God's people are going to be his people, how do you live if you're a person of God? God says to him, I am the Lord your God. And we could almost stop at that point and just unpack all of that. Who brought you out of the land of Israel, out of the land of slavery? I am, that's the Yahweh name, by the way. I am the Lord your God. I belong to you. You belong to me. It's that language of connection. And it's necessary for God's people to hear that voice because they disconnected. We became lost from God in that garden. And God comes and he speaks on that Mount Sinai through his servant Moses, now represented on this mountaintop, also represented with Elijah, the great prophet who represents those who tried to keep Israel in the faith. Who tried to keep Israel in that fight for faith, not giving up, not going after false gods, calling them to account, foretelling that word of God, but also foretelling the great promise that was made in that garden that God was going to send a Messiah. And here comes the voice of God, and he says, in the hearing of these disciples, "This is my son whom I love. Listen to him." And the voice of God speaks on that mountain, that Mount of Transfiguration. At this pause point of purpose, that these disciples, as they go forward with Jesus, would be encouraged, that they would remember what it is that God was saying. Listen to him. Listen to him, disciples, as you go back down and you start heading for Jerusalem and the crowds begin to change. They're no longer quite as welcoming as they were. In fact, when you come into Jerusalem on that Palm Sunday, they're going to greet you, but by Good Friday, they're going to have a whole nother tone to them. Remember that I love him. And remember what I told you. Listen to him. Listen to him on this next part of the journey, because he's going to say to you, it's necessary for me to go and to suffer and to die and on the third day rise again. Recall this moment, recall this time that about this son I said, I love him and I am calling you to listen to him. I'm not doing the speaking anymore. Listen to him. I am not going to do the speaking on that day that he ascends yet another mountain called Calvary. Remember, though, this is my beloved son. Did you listen to him last night when he said to you, this is my body, this is my blood? Did you remember the words that I said, that this is my son whom I love? Are you listening to him today? Can you hear him speak through the cacophony, through the clutter, through the chaos of what is going around his feet as people cry, crucify him, as people call for him to come down from the cross? You're not hearing me speak today, are you, on this Good Friday? You're not hearing the voice of the Father. Why? Because of Mount Transfiguration, I said, listen to him. What does he have to say on Good Friday? Father, forgive them. They don't know what they do. And it is finished. The plan that God began to unfold from the moment in that garden when he made that promise to Adam and Eve, the plan that he would be able to really claim his people as his own and they would know what it means to have a God who has such a heart for them, is coming to fruition now on this cross as Jesus says, it's finished. The need for sacrifice is finished. I'm the sacrifice. The need for guilt over your sin is finished. I take the guilt. I take everything that has to do with your sin. It is finished. Listen to him. That's the plea of God to his followers. Listen to him. And he's going to speak yet again. When they take him down off this mountain, he rises victorious from the grave. He spends some time with his disciples. He ascends that mountain before he ascends into heaven. And he says, listen to him, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them everything I have commanded you. Basically saying, who are they going to listen to now? They're going to listen to you. You are going to be my voice. And then today we get a chance to listen again to God. Listen to him. Listen to God as he comes to us this morning and speaks by the Holy Spirit through the Apostle Paul and helps us in how it is that God would have us engage in the fight for life, engage in our faith. Hear the plea that God is making to every follower, and it's really summed up in those words. Listen to him as he says to you, devote yourselves to prayer. Between services, I was approached and said, do you have time to pray? I thought that's so appropriate on this day. Time to pray. When someone asks you if you have time to pray, the answer has to be what? Yes. And there'd be a long prayer at that moment, but you have time to pray. And the prayer was about a woman that she knows, a woman who comes from a Muslim background, a woman who was attending one of our Christ-centered Bible studies, a woman whose name is Fatima, and we're going to pray for her right now, or in just a moment, because this is what happened to Fatima, and I want to lay this over against the words that Paul speaks here as well. He also not only calls us to devote ourselves to prayer, which, by the way, if you're thinking of something to give up or something to add on to your life as you think about what's coming up in Lent, you know, sometimes people say, I'm going to give up something for Lent or I'm going to add something. I'll join you in this, and I'll kind of lay it for you as a challenge. Devote myself more to prayer. And also to what Paul has to say here when he says, live wisely among those who are not believers. Live wisely. What's that look like? Paul tells us. He says, be opportunistic. Look for the opportunities to be as Jesus to others. Paul calls us to live graciously. And Paul calls us to live attractively because the opposite of attractive is ugly and it does not draw people to Jesus. The opposite of gracious is selfishly or rudely, and it does not draw people to Jesus. And if we don't look with eyes of opportunity, we won't see what God is putting before us in how to listen to Him and live wisely. And this is why we're going to pray for Fatim, because she was not treated graciously, she was not treated hospitably, she was not treated attractively. And this people of God needs to rectify that. And listen to what God has to say. She was spat upon a bus. But she doesn't look like us. Maybe because the individual thought she was a Muslim. Whatever reason it might be, she felt it was because she's a woman who doesn't look like us. And so, Lord, we bring before you Fatim and all others that we might look at in any way that is inhospitable, unattractive, less than gracious, and help us see with eyes for the opportunity that we might have to speak a word, to be as Jesus to them, as your servant Paul, through the Holy Spirit, calls us to do. Lord, be with Fatim and grant her strength of faith. I want to close with just a little poetic attempt on my part, capturing the theme for today. This is God's plea. Listen to me. My son whom I love pauses this transfiguration day. My son whom I love will go on his way. My son whom I love, your debt will pay. And my plea of you, his followers, is this. You pray. And live in such a way that in you might be seen and heard the Son that I love. In the name of that Son, may the peace of God that surpasses all understanding guard and keep your hearts and your minds through faith in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting.